over 26 years ago. I know some of you are thinking, you don't even look 26. I know that. No. but I remember I was speaking at Queen's Road Baptist Church, and I don't know, they're definitely not the enemy, but I know they've got slightly different theology, and that's okay. this wee woman at the end, she came out and she says, you know, son, I couldn't understand a word, but you looked as if you were enjoying yourself. So we'll try and take it a step further this time. We'll try and make sure that you guys sort of enjoy and kind of understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to get this to work, and I don't know if it's working. There we go, that's it. Let's just pray, shall we? I know we've prayed quite a wee bit today, and it's good. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you that we can meet like this. We thank you that when we meet like this, we see your kingdom come. We stand in your promises, the promises that you have for our lives, for a hope, for a future. And we say thank you, Father, that you call us sons and daughters. When you look at us, you think, my child. So, Father, we thank you for that, and we bless you. Amen. Amen. Thanks very much for that. John 10:10. I'm sure if you've been a Christian for any number of years, you'll know this passage. You'll have heard people speak on it for years and years. You've heard people expound it. Maybe some preachers speak for years and years, but, you know, for quite a long time. But you'll kind of have an understanding of what the passage is about. You know, it's about Jesus, the allegory of his sheep, you know, and him being the shepherd. And I think, you know, we're in this stage in the world when you think, well, why do we need the shepherd? Why do we need a leader? Why does the world need a leader? Well, I think if you just look at the world, it's just in a mess. You know what I'm saying? People are trying to take control of things. People are trying to overthrow other things. People are trying to put their impression or their way of thinking, and they're trying to impact your life. There's a battle going on right now, and there's a battle for your life. There's a battle for your soul. People want to win it. If it's not the advertisers, it's the media. If it's not the media, it's, you know, ISIS are trying to make us Muslim. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, other people are trying to make us consumers. What do you buy into, though? But there's a battle. We need to be led. You know, if you look down through history, there's been people, significant, Henry VIII, whatever you think about him, some of you think, eight wives, wow. He needed to cut off a few heads for that, you know what I mean? And he maybe did the right thing, I don't know. But eight wives? Who would want eight wives? Really? Do you know what I mean? I've got one. Obviously, she's blessed by having me as a husband, do you know what I'm saying? She was looking for a tall, handsome, good-looking Englishman. Yeah, second best is as good as any. but we like to be, we're influenced by people. You know, Winston Churchill. William Wallace, if you're Scottish, you know, he influenced, he led people. You know, Winston Churchill in the Second World War, you know, made a difference to how we approached the war, made a difference to how we handled the war. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's quite significant as well as we're leaving Camp Bastion, you know, and we're 100 years since war began, you know, and we don't celebrate that, but we remember it, you know. And it's kind of weird. Because I meet scientists and people a lot, and they say, "Oh yeah, well, you know, we've evolved from monkeys." And I'm thinking, "Okay, so we're the top of the tree, we're the best." I don't agree with that. That's my personal view. Do you know what I'm saying? I believe there's a creator God, and he's called the creator God for a reason. And we can talk about or discuss that another time. But if you think to it, this is we're the top of the tree, we're the best, a world could get. Really, do you know what I'm saying? And you think, well, if we're the best, what a state we're in. Do you know what I'm saying? There's never been a time on planet Earth where there's been so much division, where there's been so much war, there's been so much fighting, there's been so much conflict. And obviously, coming from Glasgow, I kind of understand that. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, people think the Scottish don't like the English. That's not true. The Scottish hate everybody. Do you know what I'm saying? Listen, the Scottish need to fight with themselves. Do you know what I'm saying? We just had a referendum there, you know, and there literally was pitched battles in the street. in the centre of Glasgow. Pete Whirfoot, yes, no, yes, no, yeah, you know. And just to sort of say, I would have voted no. Because I think the last thing we need is another division. You know, we're such a small island. Let's not break it up anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? Let's stick together. You know, now, I get the fact that as human beings, we like to be part of making our own decisions, you know. So I like the idea of an independent Scotland. I better like the idea of a government that works. A government that you can trust, a government that's out for our benefits. And that's what a government should do. You know, because they would criticise the royal family and regimes that have one individual at the top. And we criticise them because they seem to be self-serving. But what political party in this day and age isn't self-serving? What political party isn't going against the grain? What political party hasn't gone in and saying, well, these are the structures and we have to go by them, we'll throw them out? No, they're sticking to what's... And it doesn't matter who gets in next, they're going to stick with what they've got. Once they've got it, they're going to stick with it. And it creates this thing that we're looking for a leader. We're looking for somebody to lead us. And it's quite significant when Jesus is talking in this passage, you know, because our view of a herd of sheep, you know, what's it called? A flock of sheep, do you know what I'm saying? But they're not a flock because we herd them. See, in the Middle East, what they do is they lead the sheep. So they get the head sheep. I don't know what he looks like, you know, whether he's got more horns or what. But they get him, and the shepherd has a relationship with him, and he leads him, and the rest follow. You see, our view of a flock of sheep is that we get a dog to bite their ankles and make them go where we want them to go. And it's kind of what we've ended up with in this country. Do you know what I mean? People bullying people into doing a certain thing or behaving a certain way. Why is this so significant? Why is this passage so significant there? Because we need to be led. You know, it says, we like sheep have gone astray. You know, and I suppose that there's another element. We're kind of stupid. We believe things that people say, don't we? You know what I mean? And I challenge you to investigate what I say. You know, I was going to say, don't take it as gospel, but it is gospel, which means good news. Do you know what I'm saying? So take it as gospel. But investigate this stuff. See, Jesus, when he's talking, understands what we're like as human beings. He understands that if we're left on our own, we end up in a bit of a mess. If we're left to our own devices, things go wrong. You know, I work in the schools of rugby, and I work with the sixth formers. I'm the director of Rugby Youth for Christ, and I know that you know John Mills, who's the director of Coventry Youth for Christ, and we're quite good friends. But I work in the sixth form, and I end up talking to a lot of these lads that just believe the scientific approach. You know, that we've came from a single-celled organism, and all this has just happened over billions and billions of years. That this has just happened. Well, then there's no morality. There's no good and evil. There's just things that you like and that you don't like. And we try to understand and we try to explain everything. And I think we've got, you know, I don't know if you remember the saying, too big for your boots. Do you know what I'm saying? You try to answer questions that you never answer. But as long as you say them with enough conviction, do you know what I'm saying? Let's say I listen to a lot of these science guys, and instead of them saying, well, we don't believe that, and here's the scientific reason, they'll say things like, you have to be stupid to believe in a God. You have to be crazy. And they put all these adjectives onto it instead of saying, we think it's highly unlikely. But when you think of the option, you know, that we came here by chance, here's the thing, right? And I might have said this before. We still don't know how we got here. Oh, but scientists are trying. Yeah. No. Scientists don't know how we became. They don't know how life started on the earth. They'll say, oh, well, we think it was we think it was this. And they'll say, oh, but the evidence, well, what evidence? Do you know what I'm saying? And they start feeding us stuff and we start to believe it. And if that's the case, we end up that there's no purpose, that there's no plan. You see, when Jesus starts talking about him being the shepherd and about us being the sheep, he puts it in the context of there being a pen. And you know something? I don't like the idea of being controlled, but I like the idea of being a part of something. And some of you guys know my testimony. I was a punk rocker and a skinhead, and I tried all this different stuff. But I realized that what I wanted to be was a part of something. I wanted to belong to something. And even if it was, here's the weird thing, right? I wanted to stand out from the crowd and be a punk rocker. So in doing that, what did I do? I hung around with about 40 other punk rockers who looked exactly like me. Obviously, they weren't as good looking as me. But do you know what I'm saying? I became part of something in an attempt to be noticed. Jesus is saying, look, there's a pen and I want you in it. I want you in it because it's a safe place. It's a place of security. It's also a place where significance, where there's value put on you. And also, there's a reason for being there. There's purpose in it. There's purpose in it. And I think Jesus is addressing our basic needs as a human being when he tells this story, when he talks, he uses this illustration. He'll have seen it. You know, he uses something from his background. He'll have seen it. People understand what he's saying. This sense of security, this sense of significance, and a sense of purpose. Sometimes when we hear this word security, we think of control. You know, because I don't know if you've ever been a security guard. I used to be a security guard for mother care. Just made sure those kids didn't get in if they weren't with their mum. Because I'm about the same height as one. You know what I'm saying? You know, somebody says to me, you'd make a really good bouncer. Why? He said, well, you're about as tall as you are wide. Do you know what I'm saying? And you could just jam in the door. I was like, yeah. And that's why I was good at five-a-side football as well. Just kind of filled up the goal, you know. But this whole idea of security, but it's not just about security. You know, it's not just about having somebody who says, I'm going to make sure everything's okay. It's about safety. You know, and I come from an environment that, you know, you looked after yourself and whoever was in your family. You looked after, you know, you took care of things, you know. The problem is that the way that you would take care of things had consequences. And I remember my dad saying to me, listen, son, there's always somebody bigger than you. There's always somebody tougher than you. There'll always be somebody that comes along. Jesus isn't saying, oh, I'm just protecting you. Jesus is saying, I want to make you safe. So the security isn't just about nothing. The security is about freedom. And like I said before, I would have voted no. You know, and I never got a vote because of actually, and I think I said this the last time, I've actually lived in England. I've lived in England longer than I've lived in Scotland. And as you can see, it's affected my accent, talking really posh. You know. But Jesus says, I want you not just to be safe, but I want you to be free. I want you to be free. And the fact is that you can trust Jesus. Now, I know sometimes people in churches and in inverted commas Christianity have abused that position of trust. I understand that. People have used the authority that God's given them and manipulated people and got people to do things that they shouldn't have done. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus isn't that. He's saying, I want you to be safe. And that we all know that, but I have come that you might have life and life to the full. This is a question that you need to ask yourself. Are you living a full life? Are you living a life that at the end of the day you sit and go like that? It was a tough day, but it was a good day. It was a good day because I didn't have to spend it on my own. It was a good day because, Father, you were with me. The Bible says that God's about setting us free. And that freedom, I remember getting jailed once, not for a long time, but I think we'd been messing about in this torrential rainstorm, and me and my friends ended up trying to swim in the street, okay, right? So we took, all we had was our trousers on, and we were trying to swim, and then the police come and took us and put us in a cell, and I thought, that's it, I'm going to jail. And so they put us in the cell. But the whole being released, it was like, yes, I'm free. Yeah, let's look for a puddle. Swim again. You know, free to swim again. But that whole sense of this feels good. And see, we can get caught up in this knowing the truth. But the Bible isn't just about stuff being true. It's about stuff working. People don't want to know, is it true? People want to know, does it work? Does Jesus in your life work? You say, well, I don't have Jesus in my life. Well, is your life working? Is it working? Is what you've got just now enough? Is how it works satisfying you? Now, I'm not saying you can't enjoy yourself without Jesus. I'm not saying you can't be happy. But happiness is usually a result of something, you know. And the Bible sort of clarifies it as joy. And that we had this wee saying, Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. This whole idea that, you know, you're a part of something, that you feel safe, you feel secure. We don't trust the politicians, you know. Billy Connolly, Scottish comedian, could have some choice words at times, but being from Glasgow, I don't even hear them now. Billy Connolly said this, the very idea of wanting to be a politician should bar you from being a politician. We've got these people that are professional at running the country, and they don't know what it's like to be a real human being. They don't know what it's like to live, try to get milk money for your kids. They don't know what it's like. And so they're so far detached. They're like that. The very fact that you would want to be in charge should bar you from being in charge, you know what I'm saying? Because it should be about your gifting. It should be about your passion for something. It should be about your intention to benefit other people's. There's this wee bit that says this. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Here's the deal. We're all in the same boat. The Bible says that. For all, the Queen's no better than me. Mother Teresa, the Pope. And I'm no better than them. The Bible says, for all have sinned. Everybody's in the same boat. What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying, look, been part of the flocks for everybody. Been part of my kingdom. It's for absolutely everybody. It's not about going to church. It's not about reading your Bible. It's not about hanging out with. Those things are important. That's not what it's about. It's about relationship. Heard somebody say this once. There's a freedom that leads to bondage and a bondage that leads to freedom. You see, the whole idea of this independent Scotland comes from who we are as human beings. I don't like being told what to do, even when it's right, even the right thing. I don't like being told what to do. I don't do that. And even though I want to do it, sometimes I don't do it because I've been told to do it. Well, I'm the only person that thinks that way. Well, I'll do it my way, but that's a better way. Okay, all right, you know, and then you have to eat humble pie. See, we think following Jesus is about him giving his rules. Well, I think there are rules and parameters and consequences for our actions and things like that. But it's not about being a slave and not having any free will. It's about relationship. I'm going to say that again. There's a freedom that leads to slavery, and a slavery that leads to freedom. See, God wants us to be slaves to righteousness, to doing the right thing for the right reason at the right time in the right way. And that's what I think integrity is, doing the right thing for the right reason in the right way at the right time. So God calls us to be free, to be safe, to live within the pen. He calls us by name. We just had the World Cup last year and we had the Commonwealth Games, and I love it. But the big message is be part of the team, join the team. And you know, I hear a lot of Christians saying that, be on God's side, be on God's team. See, the thing is, we're a team, right? You've got to be good enough. There's certain requirements to be in the team, right? You've got to be good enough. You've got to have the skills. You've got the abilities. You've got to fit into the team. You've got to have a part to play, and you've got to be good at that. That's not what I see when I hear Jesus talking. That's not what I see when I read my Bible. Because when I read my Bible, God calls us to be part of a family. He calls us to belong. And the fact of the matter is that, like the heading of this sermon, salvation is for all. Family, the family of God's for everybody. It's not about how many times you go to church or how often you read your Bible, as I've said. You see, my kids don't have to do anything to be my kids. They belong. I might not always agree with what they do, and sometimes they want to be part of the family without the consequences that they have to, you know, sometimes they've got to clean the dishwasher out. That's been part of the family. Sometimes they have to tidy their bedroom. My oldest daughter gets married in 2 weeks, and I know there's another couple, another young couple getting married in 2 weeks in the church. Yeah, who is it that's getting married? I'm looking for the teenagers. Oh, no, they're 94 and what? Yeah, so well done, guys. Congratulations. But I suppose you're not moving out your mum and dad's place. I'm sure you've already done that. But you know, there's consequences. You know, my kids, to be part of the family, it means we work as a family. But they don't have to do that to be part of the family. Salvation is God's idea. Being set free is God's idea. Having freedom in our hearts and our mind. See, when you go to bed at night, are you at peace? Do you have peace in your heart? Do you have peace in your thoughts? I think that's the kind of freedom that God wants to bring. I think that's the kind of significance. You see, my kids have got my name. Not Ian. They're not all called Ian, especially the girls, you know. But now they can change that. See, when you start following Jesus and you put your faith in him and you ask him to forgive you, the Bible says that he gives you a new name. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. He becomes your father. And I don't know what like your dads were, but I know that my dad never came any close to matching up to the fatherhood of God. God wants us to belong, to be part of the family, not just to be on the team. And I don't know what your family situation has been like. I don't know what you're like as a dad or a mum. I don't know what your mum or dad's been like. But I tell you what, all the best bits of the people that we know and love are only a glimpse of what God's like. He will treat you with care and understanding. Sometimes Christians don't. Sometimes believers don't. But God does. And if I look down through my history as a Christian, what's hurt me is other Christians and sometimes the way my attitude towards them. But God's never done that. God's never done that. Jesus says, come, follow me. I was going to watch a wee video about a guy called Bruce. Not Ian Bruce, but Bruce. And it's about this guy that's given the power to be God. So God, you know how we moan? Oh God, you made that happen. Or if you loved me, or if you, why did that person die? If you made that happen. And God's like that. What? You smoked. My dad died of a heart attack. I mean, he drank whiskey like it was ginger beer. Do you know what I'm saying? He smoked roll-up cigarettes. Never even had a tip in them. You know, he ate fatty foods. You know, is it any wonder he died of a heart attack? Do you know what I'm saying? No, I could blame God for that. But maybe God says, well, you did this. And I think sometimes if we look, it's easy to blame God. I've got a friend who doesn't believe in God, but blames him for her dad's death anyway. So should you believe in him? No, but I hate him. Wait a minute. How can you hate somebody that's not there and you're right? But what she's saying is I would love there to be a God, and I would love God to have stepped in. And you know, I had a wee nephew 3 years ago that died of cancer, 7 years old. Horrible, horrible thing. But the fact of the matter is, human beings, we're prone to breaking. And you know, I believe God comes in and can fix things, physically fix things. But sometimes life just happens. And we need to... And here's the deal. I spoke to his mum and dad, my nephew's mum and dad, and he says, look, if it wasn't for God, we would have been without hope. We would have been... You see, I think we misunderstand this whole idea of free will. You know, God gives us the right to choose, the right to stay or walk away. So what does John 10:10, what is it about? It's about being part of the family of God. It's about feeling the significance of that. But it's also a sense of purpose, that God's got something for you to do. Moses, Noah, they were old men. I don't know what age they were when they got married. I don't know if they were 94. But they were old men. And their wives would have been kind of old women. But God did stuff for them to do. Salvation's no for the chosen few. Salvation's no for Christians. Salvation's for humanity. For God so loved the world. You said it. For God so loved the world. That's it. He's not, that's what I like, a church that knows the Bible. He gave his one and only son so that we could be free. Eternal life, that's it. And I don't know what that looks like, because although I look old, I'm not that old. I don't know, but I know there's hope. I've got hope of something better. Guys, I've talked too long, but I hope what's been said has encouraged you, maybe lifted you up a bit, maybe gave you a sense of, well, maybe there is something more. Maybe there is something more than just coming to church. The Bible says that he's called us by name, that he knows the hairs on our heads. Some of them doesn't need to worry about from where I'm starting. He knows you, he knows your thoughts. He's got a plan for you. I don't think it's a plan like, okay, well, I want Tony to get up at 10 o'clock next Saturday morning. And I don't think it's like that. I think we've got a part to play in our destiny. But he asks us to follow him. Like a shepherd would follow a sheep. He doesn't want to herd us. He doesn't want to chase us. He wants us to follow him because he's worth following. I have come that you might have life and life to the full, because it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. If I've kept you a wee bit longer than usual, I'm sorry. But there's free food at the end. Woohoo! Let's stand and we'll sing "The Lord's My Shepherd."